presence of the people outside of the abortion clinics in New York City has been incredibly effective. In fact, across the United States, every poll now shows the majority of the American people are pro-life. The young people in America, and the young I mean like 35 and younger, they're overwhelmingly pro-life. The government hasn't changed. Academia is still pro-choice. Even in the churches, there's a great deal yet of silence. How could this be? How could this be? The reason is, it's an interesting thing. In America, you cannot go anywhere across America without finding people now praying, standing outside the place where the babies are dying. It's right across America. And young people today, in their involvement for life, their first involvement is to go exactly to the modern day Golgothas, to the place where the babies are dying, and pray. You know, in America, when abortion was legalized, most people tried to change it through the law, through the political system. And if we succeeded immediately, it would have been effective, but we did not. And eventually, it became almost a hopeless task. And we did not go to where I call the Achilles heel of the pro-abortion movement. You remember Achilles' mother? She took a child, Achilles, when he's a baby, and she put him in the river Styx and let the water flow over his body. And where the water from the river Styx flowed over his body, he was invulnerable. He could not be hurt. And he thought he was. But you know, in mythology, Paris, who could not shoot an arrow straight, Paris tried to kill Achilles. And he shot the arrow, and it hit his heel, and he bled to death. That was his weakness. He didn't know it. Because the mother had held him by the heel when the waters flowed over his body in the river Styx. You have to find what is the Achilles heel of the pro-abortion industry. The Achilles heel is clear. We know where it is. It's where two people, perfectly healthy, walk into a building. One comes out of that building, two walking in, perfectly healthy, coming out later. One is wounded and the other is dead. What has that got to do with medicine? The unborn child has been killed and the mother has been broken. That's the spot. When you go there, it's indefensible for the culture of death. That's the place where, when you go there, the people who try to defend this cause, they speak about it as a necessary evil. When you go there in prayer, this is very important, not in protest, not in picketing. When you go there in prayer and people say they're praying, you make present God. I don't think of you, I think of God. They're praying. If you're not praying, I say there were people there protesting, picketing, demonstrating. But if I say no, there were people there praying, you make present God. And when you are present at that site, you will experience flak. You'll experience people protesting against you. Why? Because you are making present the victim, the unborn child. You'll never win this argument if you leave two things out. You say, I'm pro-choice, you're pro-life, but you'll never win this argument for life if the victim is not present that you're talking about, and God, who owns the child and possesses the child, is forgotten. The infant is precious because it belongs to God. And the infant is precious because it is God's precious infant. And so when you go outside of an abortion clinic, you are making present the infant. That's why you are attacked. The child is being attacked. But when you are present in prayer, God and the infant become present and everything changes. No one argues about this being a constitutional right, a wonderful or good thing. And you begin to affect hearts. You begin to change people's. And so it is that we have, for many years in America, we didn't go there. Oh, we tried through education, we tried through politics to change. It never happened. Never happened. But when we started to go to the Achilles heel, the place where two people are walking into a building perfectly healthy, one coming out dead, the other wounded, when we went there in the right way, then everything began to change. When we went there in the manner that Mary went to Golgotha and to teach us how, and to listen to her son, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." To go there in prayer. You know, our Blessed Lady, St. John tells us, was not on the ground crying. She stood. She stood next to her son. And as a Jewish mother, I know she spoke to her son. And I know what she said to him. She said, "Son, when I said fiat, you took flesh. And at that moment, I know you became a priest. And I know the purpose of your priesthood is to offer sacrifice to redeem the world. And I know at this moment, Jesus, this is the sacrifice being offered, and you're redeeming the world." Jesus did not die alone, abandoned, "My God, my God." No, he was surrounded by compassion, by prayer, and by love. When he looked down from that cross and he saw Mary Magdalene, he saw John, his beloved disciple, and he saw Mary, his mother. And what Mary said to Jesus, I know, the mother of the priest, she said, "Jesus, you stay right on that cross. You complete the work of the Father, your Father, and I will be here in prayer, compassion, and love until you die. And I know it's not the end, it's only the beginning." The children should not die without someone recognizing their existence, praying for them, loving them until the end. We should be there for a double reason, making known the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ to the people who are caught in the culture of death, to change their hearts and souls. And we should be there that the children do not die before someone recognizes their existence, prays for them, and loves them. And when we die, and we will find that a whole group will be pleading for us of these children who will say to God, "These are my friends. Although my time on earth was very short, they prayed for me. They recognized my existence. They loved me. These are my friends, Jesus. Let them in." And he will. As for the people caught in the culture of death, let me tell you, constantly, day in and day out, hearts and lives are changed. If the people are present at these sites, as was Mary and John at the foot of the cross, as was Jesus at the foot of the cross, "Father, forgive them," not responding in like, loving them to the end. And hearts are changed. Conversions take place. If they are touched before they go in, or they listen to what we say, they come back out, wonderful. Many do. Most of them are like, well, if they're touched before the child dies, they're like the good thief Remember, Matthew tells us both thieves at Calvary cursed Jesus. But at the end, Luke tells one changed and said, God, you are a king. Remember me. Most mothers coming to an abortion mill today are brainwashed into believing that if they have an abortion, it'll bring back yesterday and they can get on with their lives again. And they do it. And they do it not because they want to kill a baby. They're told again and again, an abortion will bring back yesterday. You don't want your life. It's a necessary evil. You just have to do this. Do it. This is good for you. And so what they do is they go in. And when they go in, they're like the centurion. The centurion, if you recall, we're told in Matthew, in John we're told he put the lance into the side of Jesus and blood and water came out. But we're told immediately after Jesus had died and the curtain was split, darkness came upon the earth, and the centurion said, truly this was the Son of God. And his conversion began. Most women today who have abortions believe the lie, abortion brings back yesterday. And it's not until their womb is empty that they begin to realize, my God, it was a child of God. This was the Son of God, says the centurion. The mother says, this was a child of God. And it's at that time, her self-esteem goes through the ground. And she feels neither God nor man nor anyone could or should love her again. And then she comes back outside. And if pro-lifers are gone because they're there to save babies, she is in despair. And she'll live with that the rest of her life. But if you are there to save souls and you love that woman just as much before the abortion and after it as does Jesus, when she comes back out, we make known to her, God never stopped loving her, and allow her to return to Jesus. And so it's incredibly important that you're there primarily to stop the culture of death, not the death of the children. I say to you again, the death of the children is the result of the culture of death. But the ones who need our presence outside these places more than the children are the people doing this to the children, the people caught in the culture of death. And so our mindset, our attitude must be for them. And when you do that, it is amazing what has happened. So many people working in the clinics, they leave. Doctors are converted. I had one of my counselors in New York, she's about 86 years old. And she's about 4'8". And this young abortionist doctor was rushing into the clinic. And one day she said to him, she goes on a Saturday morning, she said, doctor, come here, come here. He was just surprised, this little woman. She said, I want to ask you a question. He came over and he asked, waited. She said, my question is simple. And he's bending down to this little old woman. She said, my question is this. Does your mother know what you're doing? Does your mother know what you're doing? He's in a state of shock. He ran into the clinic. He never came back. He never came back. Does your mother know what you're doing? Does the mother of God know what you're doing? Do you realize what you're doing? Your presence there brings... You cannot presume they're evil people. You cannot presume they're beyond salvation. You cannot presume that you're better than them. You have received the grace. And the grace is to bring this love of God to those caught in the culture of death. And I'm saying to you, the Achilles heel, the weak spot, where it's indefensible, is where all of this is happening. And that's where we must be present. So in America, today, young people immediately go to Calvary. They immediately go to the place where it's indefensible. They don't go to the politics. Eventually they do. They don't go to the marches. Eventually they do. They go first to the place where the children are dying, and they go as Christ, prayerfully. They go in a spirit of love and compassion, and everything's changing. All across America, you will see people praying outside of abortion clinics. You'll see people converting and changing. You'll see people not coming back. The abortionist business works on repeat, repeat, repeat. When you are present there, if they do not change their minds when you come, if you are present there and loving them when they come back out, 100% of the time, if you touch their hearts, that's pleasing to Jesus. And 50% of the time, it's a 50% repeat rate if God's people are not there. So if you touch their hearts, 50% of the time, you're saving the next child. And that's why the abortion rate has gone down radically. That's why the business is in trouble, because God's people are there in the right way. In New York City, we have been, since last 23 years, praying outside abortion clinics. We have bishops leading our vigils every month with a large prayer vigil of people going through the streets to the site. We have people praying every day at the large places and every weekend at all the places. What has been the results? Well, I don't usually say this, but 25 places, abortion clinics have closed down. Thousands of people have come back out. People working in the industry have left. And just before I came here, the oldest and largest abortion clinic in New York City and practically in the United States closed. I have been praying outside that place for 23 years. So you gotta be patient. But in those 23 years, my friends, hundreds of workers have left, thousands of mothers have chosen life, and finally, the owners of the clinic have had a conversion of heart. On Saturday before I left America, we had a massive Thanksgiving, and the place is opening as a place of special surgery, only doing marvelous healing medicine. And they've asked us to come and bless the place, which we are going to do. We're going to do. So, this is what is changing everything in America. Every poll now shows the majority of Americans are pro-life. And that's because everywhere you go in America, you will find people praying, loving, filled with compassion, before and after the abortions, making known the unconditional, everlasting love of God to the people. It's necessary in Europe. As you know, I didn't get it straight. I have been involved actively in the pro-life movement in America since 1967. It's a long time, 1967. But it took me 22 years to get it straight, how to do it. We went through everything. They had what we call Operation Rescue, everything. I was arrested more than once. They said to me, my fellow priest, when I was arrested, I would never be a bishop. I said, wait a second, when did they change the rules? I thought that was a condition of being a bishop. I said, I thought they gave you that scarlet cassock to shed your blood for the truth. I thought that's the reason they give that to you. See? I said, I thought all the apostles were arrested and put into prison. When did they change the rules? I said, I thought I was one up on you guys. I said, I thought Jesus was arrested and died for the truth. When did they change the rules? They have not changed the rules. They have not changed the rules. God wants you and his priest and all to go to Calvary, to go to Golgotha. And when we do, hearts will be changed and everything will be different. He'll make all things new. So just remember, when you go on Saturday, and I expect you all to be there behind the bishop. I expect you to be there. Be there for the conversion primarily of souls, of those involved in the culture of life. Oh, we pray that the babies will be spared. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But they've done nothing wrong in their lives. They will go to God. The people who are caught in the culture of death, they need to experience the love of Jesus Christ, the everlasting love of God, and the people who go there. So you don't respond to protesters. You don't scream. You don't yell. Nothing, nothing, nothing. You maintain the discipline of prayer and silence with the intercession of the Mother of God. And when you do that, actually, clinics not only close, they reopen as places of healing. Okay? The pro-abortion industry never saw this one coming. They were in a state of shock in New York and across the country. And they were in a state of shock saying, if this has happened to this, the largest clinic, others will close. What are we going to do? We have to organize. And I was receiving different emails of congratulations and otherwise. And so I decided to leave America and come to Europe, to Austria, a place of peace. And then I arrived here, and I said, my God, things have not changed with the presence of the police outside. But the difference is this now. The police outside today, yesterday, and the police in New York, they are respecting and protecting the right to life of God's people. They are respected that you are able to assemble here and speak about life and proclaim life to a society and people that desperately need it. So I have no fear when I see the police. I used to have the police come and carry me away. I got tired of being carried away by the police, so I did a new approach. I bring the police with me. And the clinic cannot call the police on me. And the police leave with me. And everything has changed. And that's all across America now. The police are not enemies of life. Those are young men and women who are giving their lives for life. They're not a problem. They are people that if you make correspondence with them, you begin to explain who you are, they respect you, and they protect your rights. And that's very important. So I say to you here, as you know, in the providence of God, we have the helpers in every major city in Australia, New Zealand. I did a prayer vigil at Maria Stopes abortion clinic in Cape Town, South Africa. And I just saw recently where the Archbishop has led the 56th prayer vigil for life to that abortion clinic in Cape Town, South Africa. It has gone through the whole world. It has gone through the whole world. And anyone who tries it, like that young fellow that stood up here yesterday from Belarus, you try it, you're amazed. People turn around. People, they do not want to kill the babies. They do not want to do this. They don't know what else to do. Until people come and tell them, we will help you. And people who are hopeless because they already killed the baby, find out God never stopped loving them. And you can't be out there in self-righteousness. You can't be outside abortion clinics condemning. You can't be outside protesting. That's gone, gone, gone. You must be present as Mary and John and Jesus, loving them, making present God's love, and then everything changes. So I hope to be with you and the bishop on Saturday, and we're going to go and make present Jesus Christ's love, or more correctly, Jesus Christ, through you, will be present outside the abortion clinic at Flesh Market Street on Saturday. And we will continue to change the world and redeem mankind. Jesus doing it through us and please God, we too will save our own souls in the process of being Christ to others. God bless you.